In Parshas Baalosa, we have the encampments of Bnei Yisrael traveling around, and there the Torah says it was Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe, that it was by Hashem's word, by the hands of Moshe, and that is the verse that we use at the end of the when we say Hagba, right? We say V'zos HaTorah Hashem Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe, and we know that these are two different psukim. And this will give us an opening to discuss the halachos as they pertain to Hagra. And exactly as we titled the shiur, what is the tzibur's job during Hagra? And we have to give a little bit of background to Hagra itself. We're not going to discuss Galila and the person wrapping up the Torah. That's a different topic. But what as the tzibur, as we stand there, are we supposed to be doing? What is the purpose? What should we be saying, doing with our bodies? That's a bit of confusion as well. Let's begin. There is a Rashi at the end of Maseches Megillah, Daf Amud Beis, which cites the Maseches Sofrim in Perek Yud Dalet. And the Maseches Sofrim says as follows: Miyad Golel Sefer Torah ad Shloshet Dapin Magbia. You open the Sefer Torah to three columns, and you do a Hagba. Umar Pnei Kesivas Olam, and you show the writing to the rest of the tzibur, ha'om dim limino, that's standing to your right, and the small to your left, and machzir lefan ma'achrav, front, back, all around, to show them the writing of the Torah. Shemitzvah l'chol anashim v'anashim, it is a mitzvah for all of those present, men and women, liros haksav, to see the writing, v'lomar, and to say, zos ha'torah asher sa Moshe lifnei b'nei Yisrael. This is the Torah that Hashem gave to Moshe to put before Bnei Yisrael, and then it's like another pasuk, Torah Hashem Tanima, Meshivas Nafesh. That is the entire source regarding Hagra. Nothing more, nothing less, anywhere in Chazal. There's an idea that the Rambam will cite later on regarding that the person who does Galila gets the Schar Arum before him, but again, that's more of a Galila topic. We want to discuss Hagra as it is. This is actually also cited by a Ramban al HaTorah. In Dvarim Chav Zayin, there the Torah says, "Aru Shaliyakim Es HaTorah Zeh." Cursed is the person who doesn't keep the Torah. So the Ramban there in Perek Chav Zayin in Dvarim cites the Yushalmi in Sota that says, "Shaliyakim V'chiyesh Torah Nofelas." What does it mean? He doesn't uphold the Torah, or does the Torah fall down? Rabbi Shimon ben Yakim Omer Zeh Achaz, and this was referring to the Chazan, the Shliach Tzibur, the person leading the davening. Says the Ramban of Alinira, Al Hachazim Sheno Makim Sefer Torah, Al Tzibur Al Haros Pnei Sivasulakal. We're talking about the person who does Hagba for the rest of the congregation to show them the writing of the Torah. That person, if you don't do Hagba, such a person should be cursed. Koshim the first Masacha Sofrim, as it says in Masacha Sofrim, Shemagbiyam Oso, they lift the Torah, Umar Pnei Sivasul Ama Omdim Limino, and they show the writing of the Torah to the people all around them, left, right, front, back. Shemitzvah l'chol anashim v'anashim, it's a mitzvah to see it, lios hakasov l'chroa, and to bow v'lomar, and to say, zos ha-Torah shir sam Moshe, this is the Torah that Moshe has given us, v'chein no hagim. Okay, and this is what we have here in the Ramban. So again, there's the Ramban citing this Masachah Sofrim, to raise the Torah, to show the Torah around, everyone just look at it and bow. This is something that is cited in Shulchan Aruch, we'll see in a second, and to say this pasuk of Zos HaTorah. Now, clearly the Ramban takes this very seriously. The Bach there on the tour cites this Ramban. However, this is only according to the Girs of the Ramban, because Tosos there, Masechta Sota Daf Lamed Zayin, has a different Girsa in the Yerushalmi. And there, it's referring to not the lifting up of the Torah, but the Shliach Tzibur standing. That the Shliach Tzibur should stand when reading the Torah, learning Torah, whatever it is, but it's not talking about lifting the Torah. And the Vilna Gaon here writes in Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Lamed Aleph, that's right. According to Tosvos, so our Yerushalmi is not a proof for anything. It's only according to the Ramban's version of the Yerushalmi, which says it's talking about the lifting of the Torah, not the person reading the Torah. The Birka Yosef, the Chida over here, cites a tshuva of Rav Yecheskel Travuta. You know, a manuscript that the Chida saw. The Chida traveled around and saw a lot of different manuscripts of writings that we don't have nowadays. So there, Rabbi Yecheskel Tributo was asked about a community where the minhag of the community was not to do Hagba. They would take out the Torah, read it, put it away, no Hagba. I mean, how could you do such a thing? the Ramban says that the meaning of the pasuk in Devarim is that cursed should be the people who don't do Hagba and show the writing of the Torah to the Tzibor. How could a community not do Hagba? So Rabbi Chezkel Tributa says that even the Ramban understands that this is an asmachta, it's a mitzvah de Rabbanan to lift up the Torah. It's not the Torah telling us you have to lift up the Torah, it's a rabbinic law, and the rabbis were simply hinting to this rabbinic law with the source in the Torah and asmachta. This is against the tshuva of Chassam Sofer and Reish Ayin Vav. The Chassam Sofer says that Hagba may be midoraisa, but the Chassam Sofer thinks a lot of things are midoraisa, so that would be certainly the shitaso. And in addition, he says we need to be down the kafsechus, the communities that don't do it, because their fear is that if we lift up the Torah, what may happen, which we'll all get scared of when we see somebody doing Hagba who shouldn't, which is that it might fall. So the reason they didn't do it is because they don't want the Torah to fall, and therefore they did not do Hagba. This is cited by the Chida again, is L'David Emes, which is the Sefer on Kriyas HaTorah, and reading the Torah and the Kaf HaChaim, and the Orachos Chaim and the Halachos of Leining and Simen Ches says there are communities that don't do Hagba, since the Tircha for the Tzibor to have to stand up again. Sitting, standing, baruchu, another aliyah up and down. You have to schlep yourself up one more time. No, no Hagba. Better to sit. And in addition, we should note that the Rambam makes no mention of Hagba at all. The Rambam doesn't cite Hagba at all. This idea of the tzibur having to point and look and lifting up the Torah, there's no mention. And in the Yemenite community, they don't do Hagba either because the Rambam doesn't mention it. So to say that there's a community that doesn't do Hagba is not the end of the world, but we do Hagba. So let's continue with that. There's a tshuva, the Rashba, not here on the sheets, in Chelek Gimel and Reish Payal, who says that tzibur should stand during Hagba as we do because of Kavod HaTorah. That would certainly be proper if the whole purpose is an aspect of Kavod HaTorah. We should certainly be standing for Kavod HaTorah, and the poskim cite the Rashba as well. Let's go back to the Masechah Sofrim, and we're going to dissect it piece by piece and pull out each thing that it indicates. So it indicates that Haggah should be done before reading the Torah. And then it goes on to talk about the reading of the Torah. And the Ramah actually indicates this in the Darkei Moshe in Kuf Mem Vav, as is the Bir Hagra, and this is the understanding of the Orchos Chaim and the Kolbo. And the Shulchan Aruch cites this the Halacha in the Halachos preceding Kriyas HaTorah. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in the third source in Kuf Lamed Daled, it's coming after the idea of, it's coming before the mitzvah of actually reading from the Torah. And the minhag by Sfardim is that Hagba is done before the Kriyas HaTorah. The Eretz HaChaim and Simen Kuf Lamed Daled mentioned there were some Ashkenazi communities who did Hagba beforehand, but it was certainly the minhag by Sfarim. However, we look over here, the Ramah and the Haggah, in the third source, V'nagu Lasos Kein Achar Shekaru B'Torah. We do this in the Ashkenazi communities after the Torah is read. And this is repeated by the Levush, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishabura, all the Ashkenazi poskim indicate that we know that we do Hagba after Kriyas HaTorah. Why? Why do we do Hagba against the Shulchan Aruch after Kriyas HaTorah? So the Shiari Knesset HaGadol, Reb Chaim Ben Avista, one of the great poskim in the 17th century, so he writes in his Agos here, on the Beis Yerosef, that many people used to think that the Iker part of taking out the Torah was Hagba. Right, look, let's take out the Torah from Aaron Kodesh, we lift it up, we and we yah, and then we might as well hear with the Torah out, so we might as well read it, and then we put it away. So they'd come to shul, they'd see Hagba, and they'd go home, because they thought that was all she wrote, and that was it. So Chaim Ben Avista says, so they flipped it around. We first read the Torah, so we should understand that the purpose of the Torah is to learn it, not to show it off as a museum piece, and then we do Hagba at the end. And they flipped it around to show that the main part of taking out the Torah is to read it, not to simply display it. The Masechet Sofrim says before, it should be at Shlosha Dakin. It should be open to three columns, and it should be raised and then shown to the Tzibor. So the Shari Ephraim, which is the classic Sefer on Kriyas HaTorah, and the halachos of reading the Torah, so he writes in Yud Dalid, there are some people who are machbid to lift up the Torah and open it up to the three columns. And he goes on to discuss whether that is the best thing, because maybe that's too much acrobatics while you're holding the Torah up in the air. Better to open up to the three columns while it's lying down, and then lift it up, as opposed to open it up and then spread it out, even though that does have a flair of dramatics. The Magen Avraham famously tells us that it needs to be three dafka. Three. Now, what does that mean, three dafka? So many people understand the Magen Avraham to say that no less than three, right? If it's not good, less, if it's less than three, so then it's not a good hagba, right? Then it wasn't three. We should have found somebody else. So that is one. That's the approach of some poskim. The Sefer Chaim, Rav Chaim Palagi, in Gimel Beis says that it should be no more, no less than three. That no, so person should not be a show off and do seven columns. No more, no less, three. That's what the Masachah Sofer means. The Mishabura says it depends on the strength of the person. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer, Masachah Sefer Torah in Perek Gimel, says that the Mishabura means that it depends on the person. If the person can do more, so do more. And if the person can do less, then do less. But he thinks that maybe the Mishnah was arguing on the Magen Avraham. That's not clear. But regardless, we try to do at least three, to according to at least that sheet of the Magen Avraham. And if a person wants to do more, so lefi kocho, as the Mishnah says, a person is allowed to do more. And that is the amount of columns to be done during Hagbah. The Minig Ashkenaz, based on the Beis Yosef, citing the Ma'ari Kolon, is that the Ksav should face the person raising the Torah, right? We only know that in Simchas Torah we flip the Torah around. In Ashkenazim, we lift up the Torah with the Ksav facing the person. And the Ramah cites this in Shulchan Aruch and Kufna Mizayin. The Bach says the reason is that the Ksav facing the person raising the Torah, so he doesn't have to turn the Torah around. Because in Ashkenazi Sefer Torah, that would be very difficult to turn the Torah around. On the other hand, the Bach cites the Agos Mordechai, who says that the Maharam did Hagbah with the Ksav facing away from the person raising the Torah. What did the Maharam Rothenberg do? I'm not sure. Did he flip around in the air? Did he turn the Torah over face down and then do Hagbah? It's not clear, but there were other Minhagim. And obviously, Sfardim have their Sefer Torah facing the other way, with the Ksav going out. The Masechta Sofrim, again, says the Magbia should show the Ksav to the Tzibor on his right, his left, his front, and his back. So it doesn't have to be exactly in that order. So the Shari Knesset HaGadola says that according to the Ma'aram, it doesn't mean that you walk around the shul with the Torah open, right? When it says you show the Ksav to the Tzibor, it doesn't mean like a person walks around like with a museum piece, showing the Torah around the whole shul with the whole ceremony. That's not what it means. Rather, the Ma'aram says, the person stands in place and they spin to make sure the Ksav is shown to everyone in the shul. In fact, the Tshuvas Hilchos Katanos in Beis Reish and Hay says that in the Beis HaKnesset HaGadol in Yerushalayim, they would walk around with the Torah open so everyone could see the Ksav. That was the old meaning in Yerushalayim. Certainly we don't do that nowadays. And the Pri Chadash and the Mishabur and Sifkat and Tess explain that when facing the front of the shul, the Torah should be moved to the right and then behind and then to the left and to the front, meaning essentially a giant clockwise turning of the Torah around full circle. And the Magbia should not simply turn from side to side. This is an issue sometimes. The person doing Hagbah sometimes thinks that it's good enough if he does a little spin from left to right or right to left, and that's enough. But if you don't show the Torah to everybody in the shul, so you miss the point. There might be people in the front of the shul who don't see a quick turn to the side. Or there might be people in the back of the shul who don't see a quick turn to the side either. So you have to make sure, really, ideally the Torah should be turned around 360 degrees to cover all sides of the shul, so everyone can see the ksav, the writing of the Sefer Torah. The Shevet HaLevi, Rav Azar writes in Chelek Tes and Chavav, that the main thing is not the turning, but the idea that everyone should see the ksav of the Torah. Theoretically, he says, if everyone was standing on one side of the shul, let's say everyone came to shul one morning and said, we're all going to sit in this section, and they wanted to hadba just to that section, so that would be fine, says Rav Osner, because the main thing is not the spinning, it's the showing of the writing. But in most shuls, people sit wherever they want in all different places. Therefore, it's important that the person doing hagba do a complete spin so that everyone can see the writing in the Torah. Next, the Masechta Sofrim said, V'lichroa, you should bow when the Torah is lifted up. And something happened along the way, because the Shulchan Aruch also says this. It says, V'lichroa v'lomar, you should bow and say, the Pesukim we'll discuss in a second, he writes this in Kuf Lamed Daled, but if you look around the shul, it's very clear that people are not aware of this halacha. Most people are not bowing during Hagbah. And we have to explain what's going on. So the Darkei Moshe in Kuf Mem Zayin says this was the meaning of the Ma'aril, to bow as well. And the Shilta Giborim in Kedushin cites the Riaz, who says that we should only stand for the Torah, but we don't bow. And the Shulchan Aruch Devarim says it's not proper to bow at the Torah. We don't even bow at the Aron Kodesh. So it's not entirely, that's a questionable thing, because we do say Eshtachavel Heichal Kodeshacha. We do have an idea of bowing towards the Heichal, so it's not a crazy thing. But the Birka Yosef says the Riaz is only questioning the bowing for a closed Torah. But the Chidah says, everyone agrees that for an open Torah that's exposed by a regular Hagbah, certainly it is a mitzvah to bow. Rabbeinu Bachya and Shmos Laman Gimel and the Meiri and the Kiryas Sefer says it's not proper to bow at a closed Torah, and that it is proper to bow at a closed Torah. And the Marikash says it's mutter to bow, but there's no Chiyuv. So, again, the Masechta Sofrim, he understands, is giving you permission to bow the Torah, but you don't have to bow. However, if everyone is bowing and one person is not, then this is a lack of Kavod HaTorah. So certainly, if the Shulchan Aruch brings this and the Masechta Sofrim brings this, it's important that people should be aware before we get involved with the whole fingers and the pointing and the pinky and the thumb and all these different things that people do that are not in Shulchan Aruch. The most important thing is to know the din, which is to bow when the Ksav is shown at the Sefer Torah. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Chaf Gimel Chaf Hei doesn't mention the bowing during the Hagbah, nor does the Siddur of the Baal HaTanya, and that very could well be why it is not as popularly known, because if a person gets their halacha through Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, they might never see that you're supposed to bow. And often people are not paying attention during Hagbah, so they might not see from their neighbor as well that they're supposed to bow. The Kleisenberger Rebbe writes in the Divrei Yitziv and Aleph Ayin Dalet Beis that you should only bow if the Sefer Torah is Vadai Kasher, 100% Sefer Torah, similar to the Notes of Yehuda, who says you should only take out a Sefer Torah that's Vadai Kasher to the cemetery when they used to have fast days, when there was a famine, and there should only be a kosher Torah that's Sefer Torah that's 100% kosher. So maybe one could say, and maybe I don't know if the Torah is 100% kosher, therefore I'm not bowing. The Yosef Omitz writes in Tavkuf Chav Gimel, that doesn't have to be a full bow. It can simply be a little bit of a nod, not a full waist bow. But the Marikash does write in Ole Yaakov that it should be a full bow like Modim, you know, fully at the waist. And if it's not the case, it's not the case for you, then it would be Yura. Meaning, if a person doesn't normally bow that way, then bowing in such a full way at the waist would be Yura, would be considered a haughty thing, and better, people should just bow slightly at the Torah when it is raised. So, halacha l'maisa, people should be makbid to bow during Hagbah when the Torah is raised. What about this idea of looking at the Torah? Because the Magen Avraham, here as well, in Sifchas and Gimel, cites the Shara Kavanos of the Arizal. The Magen Avraham is the one who brought the Torah of the Arizal into the halacha. So he says that Tzibur should see the letters to the point where they can read them. And you might find, sometimes in shul, someone is careful to go over during Hagbah to see closer in the Torah the letters of the Torah itself. And he says one who can see the letters of the Torah gets an Or Gadol, tremendous light. Obviously it sounds like a good thing. And the Aruch HaShulchan qualifies this and says that it should only be the case if you're Roy Lekach, someone who understands and knows the secrets of the Torah, and someone who is someone who could potentially get this Or Gadol should go and look at the Ksav. But if you don't find that you are Roy Lekach, one who is appropriate to go act in such a way in public, then you should not do it, says the Aruch HaShulchan. This is cited by the Mishnah Berurah as well, to go and see the Ksav. And the Mishnah Berurah is Lishitaso in Kuf Memazayim, where he says you should only give Hagbah to someone who has the strength to hold the Torah clearly and not shake. It says the Mishnah Berurah, because if the person is shaking, we're not worried that he's going to drop it, but we're worried that he won't be able to see the Ksav, the writing of the Torah, if he is shaking too much. And the Shari Ephraim as well writes that it's proper to move closer to the Torah to see the Ksav if you are a person who is known to be medakdek in mitzvos. But if you're not a person who's known to be medakdek in mitzvos, then you should not take on this minhag of going to see the writing. This is the halacha. Now let's move to the piece that is closest to our parsha, and that is, what do we say? So we know that we should be looking at the Torah, we should be seeing the writing, and we should be bowing. But what are we supposed to say? So the Masechta Sofrim tells us, and the Shulchan Aruch as well writes, V'zos haTorah asher sa Moshe lifnei b'nei Yisrael, from Dvarim Dalet, and you should also say the Pasuk of Torah Hashem Tamima. So in our shuls, Torah Hashem Tamima has seemingly been dropped from this custom, but we do have V'zos haTorah. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes in Dvarim Lamed Gimel that there was a minhag to say Torah Tzivlana Moshe, and the Maharsham in the Das Torah discusses whether someone who's blind should say Vizos HaTorah, because is that it's not true. He's not saying Vizos HaTorah because he doesn't see what's going on. The Gemara Msachim Kufta Zayin says that a person who's blind is putter from the Haggadah, since they can't say Ba'avur Zeh, that we say in the Haggadah, since you can't point to and see the thing. And it's unclear whether that's a specific halacha by the Haggadah, or whether that's a halacha by any place where you have to point and recognize the existence of something in front of you. The beginning part of the phrase is from Dvarim, as we said, but the second part of the phrase that we say in all of our Siddurim, Al Pi Hashem B'Yad Moshe, is from our Parsha in Bamidbar Perek Tes. And this leads to a famous question. Because the Gemara in Tanis Chav Zayin, the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Beis, and the Gemara in the Megillah as well, teach us in the Halacha that they're trying to figure out how many psukim when it comes to the Aliyos for certain days, and maybe we should divide the pasuk in half, so the amounts of psukim are equal. And the Gemara says, no, it can't be. Ko psuka de lo paske Moshe anan lo paskina le. We do not break up psukim in a way that is different than the way that Moshe Rabbeinu did it. If Moshe Rabbeinu did not break up the pasuk and stop it in that way, then we are not permitted to recite that pasuk in a way that breaks up a middle. When you recite psukim from the Torah, it must be the entire pasuk, not part of the pasuk. There are many, many minhagim and halachos that seem to fly in the face of this statement. The Stei Chemin, the Mareches Gimel, so he says that this Gemara uses an expression of Gemiri, which is the language of Halacha Moshe Misinai, that this is a tradition for Moshe Rabbeinu not to break up the psukim. On the other hand, from the fact that the Gemara has a Havamina that thinks you can break up the psukim, maybe it's not Minat Torah, and it's certain that it's not worse than a Bracha Levatala, because we have a Halacha that if a person says Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei, and they meant to say Elokeinu, so a person is allowed to say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei Min HaOlam, like we say before Vayivarach David. So we see as well that you're allowed to say this half pasuk, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei Lanu, so Elokei Min HaOlam, to save yourself from a Bracha Levatala. So a Bracha Levatala, which is the third commandment, is certainly more significant than this, even at best, the Halacha Moshe Misinai, of not saying a half pasuk. The Chavos Yair and Kuf Tzadi Beis notes that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch leave out this idea entirely. You will not find any issue in the Shulchan Aruch or the Rambam mentioning not to say half psukim. That's a very serious point. Revelia Gutmacher in his Shuvos says that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch simply don't paskin like this din. And they simply say it's not the halacha. Even if you hold like Rashi and Yuma, who says the Gemir is not halacha Moshe Misinai, there's still an aspect of Masorah though. And the Aparkas de Aniyah and Chelek Beis suggest that Yerushalmi doesn't hold this halacha, and only it raises the issue of why we would follow the Yerushalmi over the Bavli, though. Meaning, if the Yerushalmi says you can break up Sukkim, why would you follow the Yerushalmi over three places in Bavli that says you can't break up the Sukkim? The Einayim Lemishpat there in Brachos and the Arugas Habosim say that we're not Bikim, we're not experts in the Sukkim, as the Gemara in Kedushin says, and therefore, since we're not experts anymore, so maybe we can break them up. Maybe we don't know exactly. Regardless, though, all of the major poskim of the Achronim do struggle with this Gemara. The Sam Sofi, Abi Omer, the Maharshan, they all do take this Gemara seriously. So even if it's not brought in Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, the poskim do feel this issue of breaking up Sukkim in the middle is a problem. And therefore, with all of that background, the Aruch HaShulchan over here in Kuf Lamed Daled says, why is the minhag to say Al Pi Hashem B'Yad Moshe if that's half of a pasuk? The first half of the pasuk is talking about how they encamped and they moved and they traveled. It was Al Pi Hashem B'Yad Moshe. So why is it we're saying Bezos HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei B'nei Yisrael Al Pi Hashem B'Yad Moshe? It's half a pasuk, says the Aruch HaShulchan. How are we doing that? That's against the principle of Kol Psukas Lo Paske Moshe and Lo Paskin Anlei. Any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu did not establish, we don't break up. So what are we doing during Hagbah? In the older Siddurim, Al Pi Hashem B'Yad Moshe doesn't really appear. The earliest source is in the Siddur of the Shla, which is not really written by the Shla, but it's a Siddur from a period right after the Shla. So that's in the 1700s. So this is the earliest record we have of adding this extension of Al Pi Hashem B'Yad Moshe. So what do we do? Should we say it? Should we not say it? Should we be saying something else? So let's go through a number of approaches. The Shari Rachamim, which records the Minhagim of the Grab, writes the name of Rechaim Volozhin. The Rechaim Volozhin felt the original Minhag was that when the Sefer Torah was taken out, we say Vayhi ben Sa'ar Aaron, and then when we put the Torah away, we say Vnucho Yomar, right? The Torah would travel when it went out, and then when we put the Torah away, we have another pasuk for that. And in the middle, we would recite the pasuk of Al Pi Hashem Yachanu Al Pi Hashem Yisau, Es Mishmeres Hashem Shamaru Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe, which is the pasuk in our parsha, right? That the Torah, the Aaron would travel. We reference that when we take the Torah out of the Aaron Kodesh. The Aaron would rest. We reference that when we put the Torah back in the Aaron Kodesh. And in the middle of this whole process, we would say, oh, by the way, the Torah travels based on the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now is the minute. What happens, says Rechaim Volozhiner, over time, the first part of the Pasuk fell away, and people just started mixing Vezos HaTorah and Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe together to come up with this new minhag. And therefore, Rechaim Volozhiner felt that you should say Vezos HaTorah and the full Pasuk of Al Pi Hashem Yachin will be Al Pi Hashem Yisau. Certainly, that's not the minhag. Most people don't do that. But some people who follow the minhag grub would be careful to recite the entire pasuk. The Nishmas Adam in Al in Hay. The Magen Avraham and Reish Pei Beis suggest that something that's the derech tefila, the halacha of breaking up sukkim, doesn't apply. And so this is a form of tefila. It's not a sense of Talmud Torah. Therefore, you're allowed to break up the pasuk. And perhaps only it's also to stop in the middle of a pasuk, but you can start in the middle of a pasuk. Some explain, and the Ma'ariv Tzvi says it's not a problem if it's the end of a parsha, and this pasuk is something that's the end of a parsha in the Torah, and therefore it's allowed. So there's numerous ways to explain to get out of this issue. Lemaisa, Rav Asher Weiss writes in his Minchas Asher on Talmud Torah that it would certainly be very nice to be makbid for Chaim Volozhiner and to recite the whole pasuk to get ourselves out of this, but there are a number of reasons to be makel and to rely on the minhag to recite Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe, or certainly someone could just say Vezos HaTorah Asher Sa Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael and stop right there and not say Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe, because it's not in the Masechta Sofrim. It's at best in the Siddur Ashlah. So if a person just wants to say the first part and leave out the last part, that would be fine as well. There's actually a beautiful Chassam Sofer in the Chassam Sofer HaKadosh and Parshas Veschanan, who says that he has a beautiful drasha. He says, V'zos HaTorah Asher Sa Moshe Lifnei B'nei Yisrael Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. We say that the Torah was given to Moshe, that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was exact and without any confusion. It was Torah Hashem Tamima. And if Hashem would have given the Torah to the Avos would have had questions. Hashem, why does it say this? Why does it say that? But the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was 100% crystal clear, and there was no questions. When Moshe got the Torah, he never had to go back to Hashem and say, well, what does it mean over here? Everything was crystal clear when Moshe got it, except for the five places where Moshe didn't know the halacha. That actually happened this week's parsha also. But regardless of that, Moshe's Nevuah was crystal clear. And therefore, we say, why was the Torah given to Moshe, not the Avos? Because it was Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. That the Moshe's giving of the Torah was 100% crystal clear. And therefore, we highlight that Vezos HaTorah, this Torah was given to Moshe because it was Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe, and there was no questions when it was given. Let's discuss the last issue of pointing. Why leave it towards the end? Because it's a questionable minhag of why we do this in the first place. There is no real source as to why we point, regardless of what finger you use. The earliest mentioning of such a minhag is Rav Chaim Palagi in the Sefer Chaim Gimel Vav. Look over here. He cites in the last source a smach l'mashenogu l'haros be'etzba l'sefer Torah b'shas ha'kamas l'sefer Torah. I have a hint to explain why people point with their fingers when we lift up the Torah. And he cites a Bamidbar Rabbah, it's also a Shir Hashirim Rabbah, that V'dagul Alai Ava, that to show the Ava Satorah, he goes on to explain that the children, when they would learn Torah, they would point to Shem Hashem when they would learn Torah to show their Ava Satorah and Ava Hashem. And therefore he says, therefore we point as well when we lift up the Torah. It's not clear why that's a makor or why that's a smach, because that's talking about children in the context of Talmud Torah. They're also only pointing to Hashem's name, not necessarily the Torah in general. A lot of Acharonim give different drushos depending on Gemaras that talk about Tzaddikim in the end of days will point to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or in the middle of the circle, or the Moshe Rabbeinu, there were three things he wasn't able to understand, and therefore it said Zeh or Zos, and they had to point to it to understand it better. There's a lot of drushos, but it's not clear why we do this. There's also a question about why the pinky, and they like to explain the gematria of Zeretz, which is the pinky is 607, plus the other fingers would be 611, and the Zos HaTorah, the other two was from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not from Moshe. There's a lot of different explanations to why. But if a person does it, they shouldn't stop. But I wouldn't necessarily spread the minhag if it doesn't really have such a source, especially in the face of people not doing what it says in Shulchan Aruch of bowing. People will point with their finger, which is not in Shulchan Aruch, but they won't bow. So maybe we should bow a little bit more, unless pointing to Mekayim, the proper Kavod HaTorah, when it comes to how we should act when the Torah is raised. So, Lamaisa, we know why we raise the Torah now. We know the purpose of raising the Torah, the idea of what we should be practicing when the Torah is being raised, should be able to enhance and sensitize us to greater Kavod HaTorah.